Well, good morning and welcome in. It wasn't decided till well after midnight. Donald Trump will become America's 45th president. Hillary Clinton phoned the president-elect to offer congratulations on a hard-fought race. Trump, who spent much of the campaign urging his supporters on as they chanted, "Lock her up," said the nation owed her a major debt of gratitude for her years of public service. And as he claimed victory, he had this to say.
To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time.
Trump will take office with Congress expected to be fully under Republican control. Remain that way. GOP Senate candidates fended off Democratic challenges in key states and appeared poised to keep the majority. Republicans also maintained their grip on the House of Representatives.
Meantime, it was a big win for Virginia Republicans in the D.C. suburbs.
Republican Congresswoman Barbara Comstock keeps her seat in Virginia's 10th district. She gave credit to young people for the win.
Young people who were knocking on their doors, who were being ambassadors for us, and who were reaching out and talking to people. You are the great leaders of the future, and this is about you.
Comstock alluded to the nasty nature of the race filled with sharp attack ads, but says her coalition overcame it all. In Loudoun County, this is Kyle Cooper.
I'm Dick Iuliano with Democratic candidate Lou Anne Bennett. The D.C. developer who tried to turn Virginia's 10th congressional district blue came up short, losing soundly to Republican Representative Barbara Comstock.
I am so proud of the campaign that we've run and the vision for our district and for our country that we put forward.
The race was one of the most closely watched House races. It was Bennett's first bid for elective office for a seat that's been held by Republicans since 1981. In Falls Church, Dick Iuliano, WTOP News.
Solid wins for Democrats in Maryland's congressional races, and WTOP's Kate Ryan was at Van Hollen's campaign party.
The focus here in Silver Spring was on congressional victories for Marylanders, like Chris Van Hollen, declared the winner to succeed Senator Barbara Mikulski. He did make note of national returns when he told the crowd,
"We will make sure that across America, that hope will triumph over fear in the United States of America."
Maryland State Senator Jamie Raskin made the leap from Maryland's State House to the 8th congressional seat in the House on Capitol Hill.
"When they call me a liberal, I say, damn right I'm a liberal, because the heart of the word liberal is liberty, and what's wrong with that?"
And the self-declared comeback kid of the night, former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, told the crowd after a setback,
"The true test is whether you get up and you get back to it. And if you believe in what you do, you get up and you get back to it."
In Silver Spring, Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
This is Nick Iannelli outside the White House. Hillary Clinton supporters gathered here and they started confident, but that began to fade as the night went on.
As soon as Hillary, you know, lost Florida, then Ohio, and then some of the Midwestern states she was supposed to win, it was pretty clear the direction the election was going.
This man is a Trump supporter wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
I mean, he won, and it wasn't just, you know, he won by a little bit. I mean, it was a clear mandate from the American people that they want change and not, you know, not Hillary Clinton.
He says now both parties need to come together and heal. Outside the White House, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
That's what drivers expect a Porsche 911 to sound like. But Charles Brownstein of North Bethesda learned that with the windows down at highway speeds and at the racetrack where lowered windows may be required, this is what you hear inside the cabin.
It sounds like a typical orchestra rehearsal, but these musicians are different. Music is not just their passion, it's their mission.
I first heard the band, like many of us, when I was a youngster, middle school. I said, I'm going to do that one day.
O'Neill tried for the Tony Rubino four-time Brigade Champion Award, which only 19 midshipmen have won since 1970.
Danny, hey, straight, bring that hook back. You gotta bring the hook back.
Right away.
Right away.
It's not pleasant, but it's a sound many neighborhoods want to hear.
Potholes in certain areas
kind of rendered our streets like the surface of the moon.
Standing in her neighborhood in Ward 3, Councilmember Mary Che welcomed District Department of Transportation crews, kicking off the 8th annual Pothole Palooza.
Mike Machado's day at the museum starts around 4:30 in the morning. That's when the senior graphics specialist checks his computer to see what newspapers from all over the world have been sending in for the day.
The participants upload their front page as a PDF.
Machado says on most days, he'll get around 900 of these front pages.
And some days, we get more.
Can you see?
That's just six members of Suitland High School's Center for Visual and Performing Arts. The full choir will be joining other local students singing at the African American Museum opening.
This is extremely huge.
12th grader Charles Butler.
It's an amazing opportunity to put down on your resume as well as a life-changing experience.
We're off and moving on the Superman VR coaster here at Six Flags. We are suspended in a virtual world about 15 stories high above the city of Metropolis, and Lex Luthor has popped up in front of us with some sort of gun that is pulling our train upwards. Now Superman and Lex Luthor are engaged in a battle right in front of us, and we've begun to plummet! The two of them are fighting and pulling us along with them! But Superman has saved the day.
A lot of exhilaration goes into Irish dancing. You have to have power. Your arms have to be by your side.
Three nights a week, Chip Kress laces up his shoes and hits the hardwood floor, practicing at Alexandria's Boyle School.
Sometimes you can get blisters, but really all it is getting back up and trying again.
It's training day for National Zoo panda cub Bebe, who's still mastering the come when called command.
Bebe!
Animal keeper Shelly Pick.
You ready? Bebe, target.
Pick is teaching Bebe to touch his nose to a ball.
With your face, you can do it.
Breaking news on WTOP as we continue to follow a shooting at an area mall. WTOP's John Aaron is joining us live with details.
And Mark, this happened at Westfield Montgomery Mall in Bethesda. It appears it happened between 11:15 and 11:30 this morning, so just minutes ago. Montgomery County Police responded there for a report of a shooting, and they say that according to preliminary information from the scene, and as always, this could change, there are three shooting victims, two males and one female.
Three people have been shot today at the mall, and WTOP's Megan Clardy is there. Let's go to her live. Megan, what more can you tell us?
Mark, we understand this happened between 11:15 and 11:30 this morning. I can tell you we're standing out here, if you're familiar with the mall, outside the Macy's, a large portion of the parking lot roped off with police tape, a number of police vehicles here, and clothes strewn about in the middle of the parking lot, we understand was related to the shooting.
We are getting rain, 51 degrees now, and a news conference getting underway outside Montgomery Mall.
Another incident occurred in our Aspen Hill region, in which we're also responding to an individual who's also been shot there, determined to be female in that particular case, and we hope also to put together different information from all scenes in question.
Assistant Montgomery County Police Chief McSwain speaking here.
We have no one in custody at this point.
This is Kate Ryan at the Westfield Montgomery Mall. These shoppers leaving a lunch were stunned to hear that there was a crime scene in the Macy's parking lot.
It's very quiet inside. We didn't hear anything.
Nobody said anything inside.
Absolutely nothing.
Another shopper leaving with her husband and infant said she was puzzled to see so many stores closing at around noon. Aside from the shuttered stores, there's normal activity at the mall, a bustling food court, and shopping at the stores that are open.
There were two parking lot shootings that left two people dead. The first one at the Westfield Montgomery Mall about 11:15 this morning, where we've now learned one of the three victims, a male, was killed. Another male was injured. Then about a half hour later in the Aspen Hill Giants parking lot, a woman was shot and killed. All Montgomery County schools are sheltering in place because the suspect is out there and is armed and dangerous.
Captain Starks also said that the police are still looking into whether these two shootings today, that Westfield Montgomery Mall and the Aspen Hill Shopping Center, are related. And he also said police are still looking into a possible connection with the deadly shooting yesterday at High Point High School in Beltsville.
The Department of Homeland Security confirms there's a lookout for a man identified as 62-year-old Eulalio Tordiel, a federal protective services police officer suspected of shooting his ex-wife in Beltsville in that shooting. And sources say police have been told to watch for a silver 2015 Hyundai Elantra.
Get word that federal involvement now in this particular case. WTOP's national security correspondent J.J. Green joins us with what he's hearing from his federal law enforcement sources. What do you know right now, J.J.?
Shyam, the FBI is one of several federal authorities involved in this today. And the reason for it is, as John mentioned a moment ago, the possibility of a connection between yesterday's shooting at High Point High School and these shootings today. The FBI and DHS have a great concern in this because Tordiel is a law enforcement officer with the Federal Protective Service, and they have confirmed for me and WTOP that in March they placed him on administrative leave, and this after a protective order was issued against him. They removed his duty weapon badge and credentials.
Police have said he has been driving a silver 2015 Hyundai Elantra, and I think we have breaking news here on WTOP.
Yes, we do. The suspect is now in custody. That is the latest news. We've just been told the suspect is the suspect who we were looking for. Yes, Eulalio Tordiel, the 62-year-old man who was wanted for yesterday's killing in Prince George's County. Montgomery County Police say he's in custody.
This convention will come to order.
This is Dave McConnell in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention. The program is starting, as you can probably hear behind me. The delegates are revved up, but a number of delegates from Congress have decided to sit this convention out. Only Northern Virginia Congressman Rob Whitman, we've found, is actually sitting with Virginia's delegates today, and he is supporting Donald Trump.
I love the media. They're so honest.
The soon-to-be Republican nominee was clearly in a playful mood as equipment was being checked before his big speech tonight.
They're such honorable people.
On a seemingly more serious note, Trump added,
I love Cleveland. I love Ohio. It's great to be here. Thank you, everybody.
This is a sousaphone.
I found Derek McBride just outside one of the main security gates at Quicken Loans Arena with that sousaphone upon his shoulders. McBride says he's not here to protest anything and doesn't really have a message. His goal is to just try to relieve tension.
The only message I have to get across is stop the violence, stop hating on people. Chill out, just out here making people smile.
At Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Brennan Hazelton, WTOP News.
I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination.
I think he has said things tonight that could resonate with independents and maybe even in some Democrats. He has shown a certain amount of humility. He reached out to, by the way, I think Donald Trump, I think he did just finish his speech, and a tumultuous response to that here. This is Dave McConnell in Philadelphia, the Democratic National Convention. Some of the high-tech presentations that are going to be unveiled tonight are being unveiled right now, and they are very, very loud. Lots of anticipation here, of course, at the convention arena. We're awaiting Hillary Clinton's formal acceptance of the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. After a lot of buildup from supporters, including President Obama, Hillary Clinton is set to deliver the political speech of her life and persuade folks she should be the next president.
Donald Trump has been a bully his whole life.
It went on for more than 6 minutes, a full-throated attack by former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley.
That immigrant-bashing carnival barker Donald Trump.
He went after the Republican presidential nominee using very strong personal language, calling Trump a racist, saying he feeds off fear and uses anger as a political weapon.
I say, to hell with Trump's American nightmare. We believe in the American dream.
It happened again and again. Bernie Sanders supporters interrupted speakers inside the convention. Outside, in sweltering, humid weather, a massive crowd of protesters rallied against Hillary Clinton, holding Bernie Sanders signs saying he's the only one who can beat Donald Trump.
Bernie beats Trump! Bernie beats Trump!
She's totally alienating the progressive base of the Democratic Party, and, you know, these people are not going to want to vote for her.
At the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Nick Ainelli, WTOP.
With humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination.
This room is going crazy. And we reporters have to remember not to be infected by the rooms we're in last week in Cleveland, this week in Philadelphia, and let the enthusiasm get into our comments. But there is a lot of enthusiasm tonight, and the whole campaign, the whole convention has been marked by hope and optimism as opposed to anger and concerns about America last week in Cleveland.
A D.C. team will try winning back-to-back championships this weekend, something no team in its league has ever done. So you'd figure the team is getting all the attention it deserves, right? Well, WTOP's Michelle Bash says, not so fast.
Ready! Breakdown!
Ha! We're on a mission!
Let's get to it! Practice like you want to play in that championship game, all right?
Head coach Allison Fisher pumps up players at the start of a practice by the D.C. Divas, a women's pro full-contact football team.
This is the 16th year of the franchise, and this is our fourth Super Bowl.
Quarterback Allison Hamlin says NFL fans will find the Divas just as exciting. Their league is the WFA, the Women's Football Alliance.
I get being skeptical, and that's fair, but I just challenge you to come look for yourself, you know. I've never met anyone that's come out and not been blown away.
NFL players make a lot of money. Divas players pay a training fee to play. Middle linebacker Trigger McNair says,
I think at the end of the day, since we're not getting paid to do this, we put so much more effort into this than the guys do. The guys, it's a job for them. This is our lives.
These women work day jobs.
I am an IT security manager.
I'm a chef.
I am a correction officer.
And after work, they come to practice.
21 New York! 21 New York! Go!
All right.
Why do they do it?
This is an outlet from my everyday life.
Football for me is like a huge stress reliever. Coming from, you know, working a 10, 11 hour day.
I get to hit people and not go to jail, legally. Legally, no, but this is like a release.
The Divas beat the Dallas Elite in last year's national championship game, and this year's game will be a rematch. Hamlin says,
DC versus Dallas. I mean, if you don't care about anything, I know if you're a DC fan, you should care about that.
Kickoff is 4:30 Saturday afternoon in Pittsburgh, and you can watch a live stream on ESPN3.
DC Diva, Jumpin' Jacks, ready, begin.
D-C-D-I.
See photos and video at WTOP.com. Search Divas. In the district, Michelle Bash, WTOP News.
Wow. We want Dallas.
Very
cool. We want Dallas.
Very cool.
We want Dallas.
We got some more football news coming up in sports next.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the blizzard of 2016.
Yes, it could be a storm of epic proportions with snow pushing across the area right now and a blizzard warning in effect. Plow drivers in Virginia, Maryland, and the district are leaving the roadside and forming plow trains on our region's larger roads, while single plows handle the smaller streets. Of course, this will go on all weekend long.
Utility companies are indeed gearing up for a tough weekend.
Whiteout conditions, freezing temperatures.
That's a bad combination.
Vincent Morris with Pepco says extra crews will be on hand to deal with outages as they come. Chuck Penn with Dominion Virginia Power.
We do expect to have for there to be an impact on multiple regions within our service area.
Forecasters say there could be winds gusting up to 55 miles an hour, bringing down tree limbs onto power lines. Nick Ainelli, WTOP News.
The only thing I would ask everybody in Northern Virginia is please stay off the roads.
Governor Terry McAuliffe.
In Northern Virginia, we're preparing anywhere from 1 to 3 feet of snow. We have the personnel. We have the teams on the ground.
Across Virginia, 9,500 people are ready to work using more than 10,000 plows, snowblowers, and more. The work costs $2 to $3 million an hour statewide, from the more than $200 million annual snow budget.
We're fully deployed. We're ready to go.
As far as Wood Acres Elementary School third grader Lucas McDowell is concerned, what's not to like about the big storm?
What I really like about the snow is that it brings a lot of fun things to do, like sledding, snow angels, snowball fights.
10-year-old Annalise Schiebler says once the snow's sufficiently packed down, the sleds and coasters slide faster.
Like, even if you have a couple of curves, it will be like...
But Lucas explains it'll take a few runs in the deep snow to get the course up to speed.
I think this is a bit harder because there's so much snow and the sleds just sink in.
In Bethesda, Dick Iuliano, WTOP News.
And while most of us are riding out the storm inside, a group of young entrepreneurs took to the streets.
Hot chocolate!
All bundled up, their pink tablecloth whipping in the wind, Mateo and Nadine welcome you to the Jonas Cafe.
It's called the Jonas Cafe because this is Storm Jonas.
With snow in her eyelashes, Nadine explains this group of Georgetown Day and WISC school students always sled together.
We were kind of just sitting around after we'd gone sledding and we didn't know what to do, so we just like decided that we were going to have a stand.
A cup of hot chocolate with whipped cream or marshmallows will cost you $1.
How long is this going to go on?
As long as resources last. Yeah.
What about your freezing fingers and noses?
Oh, we can deal with that.
Now that's dedication. In Northwest, Megan Cloward, WTOP News.
Well, it was an unwelcome arrival for some returning travelers who found their cars buried in one local airport's long-term parking lot.
Quite a different scene than when I left it.
Clinton left the sun-filled beach of Grenada and returned to find his car buried to the roof here in the economy lot at Dulles. Lucky for him, airport parking crews were standing by.
They just happened to be driving by and had some shovels in the back. I asked if I could borrow one, and they just jumped out and took a shovel each and helped me dig myself out. So I thought I was going to be at this for a couple hours.
Front loaders and bobcats are working to get parking lots clear. At Dulles Airport, Neil Augenstein, WTOP News.
Are our aging highways trying to tell us something? They're certainly leaving plenty of hints, things like closed lanes, flat tires, and cracked windshields. Here's Dave Dildine with part two of our series, Crumbling Capital.
Cracking, corroding, and flat out coming undone.
A huge chunk of concrete from a 495 overpass fell right onto a woman's car.
A bridge crumbling to pieces in early 2015.
I'm standing on Suitland Road underneath the Beltway. And you look up and you can see where crews sprayed an epoxy and then added planking underneath these bridges. Quick fixes, but far from the needed replacement.
When something does become considered structurally deficient, we do start a design process rather quickly.
Charlie Gishler with the Maryland State Highway Administration says deficient doesn't mean dangerous despite dilapidation.
The lion's share of structurally deficient bridges are simply the road surface that goes on top, the bridge deck.
In 2015, the Federal Highway Administration logged 306 deficient bridges in Maryland and over 1,000 in Virginia. In the district, 10. One getting a lot of press.
The Arlington Memorial Bridge. And this morning, local leaders will take a look at the crumbling structure.
What it needs is a major rehabilitation, not quick fixes.
Harry Amidala, a bridge engineer, grades D.C.'s bridges for the American Society of Civil Engineers.
Over the years, deferred maintenance has definitely taken its toll on the structure.
When funding is tight, deferred maintenance usually follows. Seeking more federal grant money, the National Park Service needs to come up with $250 million just for this bridge alone.
We've requested another $60 million grant.
Jenny Anselmo Sarles with the Park Service on a budget stretched thin.
Every year the National Park Service spends several $100,000 in the Washington metro area simply on patching potholes.
Tires pounding on a pothole. They count down to the invariable result of wear, tear, and disrepair on the roads around our at times crumbling capital. Dave Dildine, WTOP News.
Tomorrow, we'll take a closer look at our vulnerable water supply, and you can read much more at WTOP.com.
Breaking news on WTOP.
Metro is closing down the entire rail system all day tomorrow. That comes from our news partners at NBC4 and the Washington Post. The closure is to check cables throughout the rail system, and it follows yesterday's fire on the tracks near the McPherson Square Metro. The people in charge are saying you need to make alternate plans now. A news conference is scheduled for later this hour. When that begins, it will stream live at WTOP.com.
Metro is suspending service all day tomorrow. VRE says it will run normal service. Jerry Connolly calling on OPM to allow unscheduled leave or telework. VMetro is planning to restore service by Thursday morning if all the inspections and repairs go as planned. At Metro headquarters, Mike Smith, WTOP News.
OPM tells our sister station, Federal News Radio, that it's following the situation and will provide an update later today in terms of what feds need to do. The closure is reportedly to check cables throughout the rail system following a fire yesterday on the tracks near the McPherson Square Metro. Transportation leaders are warning people who rely on Metrorail to start making those alternate plans right now. Again, that news conference set to start anytime, and you'll hear it live right here on WTOP.
We take you live now to Metro headquarters and general manager Paul Wiedefeld.
McPherson's Square
a fire in the tunnel. So I received a detailed briefing last night and report last night and further this morning and into this afternoon on the investigation into yesterday's cable fire that shut down service on the Orange, Blue, and Silver lines in the Corps. While the investigation is ongoing, the preliminary findings show commonalities with the cable fire at La Font Plaza a year ago. While the risk to public is very low, I cannot rule out a potential life safety issue here, and this is why we must take this action immediately.
A stunner from Metro. The entire rail system will be shut down for the entire service day tomorrow. That means big problems for the hundreds of thousands who use Metro to get around and for drivers who are likely going to deal with more traffic than usual. We've got team coverage for you starting with WTOP's Dick Uliano.
Metro trains will stop rolling at midnight Wednesday, no doubt leaving hundreds of thousands of commuters scrambling for alternative rides.
We will suspend rail service for 24 hours to inspect 600 underground, what we call jumper cables.
Metro General Manager Paul Wiedefeld says the cause of Monday's tunnel fire at McPherson Square looks similar to the cable fire that caused smoke in the La Font Plaza tunnel in January 2015, which killed one rider and injured scores of others.
While the risk to public is very low, I cannot rule out a potential life safety issue here, and this is why we must take this action immediately.
Metro Rail is expected to reopen Thursday at 5 a.m.
How is Congress reacting to the Metro shutdown tomorrow? WTOP Capitol Hill correspondent Dave McConnell, today on the Hill.
Yeah, Dimitri, area lawmakers agree this is a serious situation, and they're calling for the government to permit liberal leave policies and teleworking at home wherever possible. Virginia Congressman Don Beyer.
We've already encouraged our own staff to work from home if they can, ride their bike if they can, but we very much want OPM to say liberal leave, telework if possible, perhaps essential employees only.
D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton says she'll be at work, but hopes others can work from home. Other local lawmakers tell WTOP of similar plans. So far, no plans to close Congress.
Many commuters are heading to the Metro, learning for the first time they won't be taking it to work tomorrow morning, and many are not happy about this late notice.
I saw it on Facebook, and I was just like, really? So I called my supervisor and said, I'll probably be late to work tomorrow.
Alicia's on her way to the Navy Yard Metro station and says she's going to have to drive in tomorrow given the transit system safety closure.
It should have been done a long time ago, but definitely not in the middle of the week. Traffic is going to be insane tomorrow.
Erica Smackham also wishes there was more notice given before the evening rush hour.
If it's that bad that they need to shut it down for a day, then maybe it needs to be shut down. I would rather it be shut down and people whine for a day than people get hurt.
Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
When you think about things that are hip, the grocery store does not usually come to mind. But instead of just offering brooms and frozen pizzas, many stores are now pulling out all the stops, from live music to tasty things for wetting your whistle.
I was walking around the grocery store and the kid said, "What's that music?" And I was like, "Oh, they're probably piping in through the speakers."
Eliana of Cleveland Park.
And then all of a sudden I pull up to check out and I'm like, oh my God, there's an actual real jazz band in the middle of the grocery store.
And that's not all here at the Giant Food on Wisconsin Avenue near the National Cathedral.
It's definitely a brave new world. You can put your beer in the shopping cart. It's a good time.
Brian Haupt lives about a block away.
Have you seen the cup holders? The shopping carts have cup holders. Yeah.
Are we going to go get one?
No, I'm staying by the bar. The bar is my area.
You're just hanging out at the bar?
Yes. Popcorn, guac, chips. It's all right.
What more do you need?
Yeah, nothing.
Now, over at the self-checkout lane,
$1.99.
Buying chips and a sports drink.
To take your change and your receipt.
American University student Tom Page doesn't seem impressed.
Yes, it's all right. I don't know if I drink while I shop.
But an alternate view?
I think it's great, especially around happy hour. Get off work, come over, have a beer, get to shop, get some food for later.
PJ Fugit of Mount Pleasant.
Sometimes I buy a little more than I should.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what do we have here? Broccoli?
I'm just getting started, so we're just in the produce and vegetables section, so...
The responsible section.
Yeah, you gotta start out good first, and then as the beer goes down, that's where the ice cream is at the end and everything, so...
The sip and shop trend is growing. The district's Alcohol Beverage Regulation Administration has issued 12 licenses allowing beer and wine sales by the glass at full-service grocery stores. One is the Foggy Bottom Whole Foods Market, that offers the option at six Northern Virginia locations, and Ashburn even selling mixed drinks.
We get them all. We get them coming from other places, and sometimes we have to turn them away.
Joseph Turner has worked for Giant for 25 years.
How did you take it when they first said, we need a bar manager?
I just did the typical double take, like, what kind of bar? You know, we have a hot bar, we have a smoothie bar. What? When they said beer and wine, you know, like, how is this going to work? This is going to be interesting.
What's the tipping protocol in this kind of establishment?
I have no idea.
Bellied up to the bar, John Nielsen.
I still can't get used to this, especially when my ex-wife walks by, pauses and says, oh, so that's what you do at the grocery store.
In Northwest, Christy King, WTOP News.
Bottoms up.
Yeah, bottoms up.
There's a remarkable woman living right here in our area who escaped from North Korea. As we continue our series, Escape from North Korea, the story of Grace Jo, WTOP National Security Correspondent J.J. Green tells us she had to go through hell to get here and tell her story.
One of the most pivotal moments in Grace Jo's life took place in 2004.
I was 13.
While in China, Grace and her family became active trying to help others escape North Korea. But a group of escapees led authorities unwittingly right to them.
And then they found out where we live. And then my mom and I go down to the stairs and trying to make a phone call to missionary. And then they found us and they caught us. And then we had to go back to our house, our apartment, and then everybody got caught. It was a very tragic moment.
Tragic because some people panicked. And there's one particular scene Grace will never forget.
Because one woman tried to commit a suicide. She cut her neck and throat. So our bathroom was very red and all blood covered our bathroom. So all those tragic memories still lives in my mind. So it's a little hard.
But that strengthened their resolve to get out of North Korea. And coming up in my next report, they got some much-needed help.
And then he bribed North Korean agents in North Korea.
J.J. Green, WTOP News.
We've got more about Grace's story, her full story at WTOP.com. Search national security.
Some people like vintage clothes. For others, it's vintage cars. But at one D.C. landmark each month, it's all about vintage games.
Open the door and step into 1921.
A pretty girl.
Hey, how you doing?
Is like a melody.
Actually, you've arrived at Vintage Game Night at the Woodrow Wilson House, former home of the nation's 28th president.
Once you're checked in and all that, upstairs is games, the bar, and snacks.
We took a bunch of games, usually buying them off eBay, and did a lot of historical research looking for when President Wilson, when he comes here in 1921, games that he might have played or people around this time would play.
But tour guide Matthew Thibault says before they could start inviting people to play here on the first Wednesday of each month, they had some work to do.
We actually have our interns come in and because a lot of these don't come with directions, and so we have to go on the internet and look up how to play these games.
Games like Uncle Wiggly, Can You Go, and this one, Pit.
You get about seven cards where it can be rye, barley, flax, and you basically, everybody gets seven and then you try to trade with each other.
And it gets loud.
1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-
fun.
Yes, sir. That's my baby. No, sir. Don't be maybe.
It's fun.
DC's Ann Elkington likes all the different people she meets when she comes to play, and
it's hard for me to think of a venue in DC that brings so many ages together for such silliness without bar noise.
Now, as for what the former president liked to play, tour guide Thibault says,
yes, he did play a form of Can You Go? It's called Matching Word, and it was basically Scrabble, just not called Scrabble yet.
And Mrs. Wilson, she dug Mahjong.
We actually have a table somewhere around the house, in the other room, that in honor of her, to play Mahjong. She loved playing that game all the way up until her death in 1961.
Find out how to take your own trip back in time at the Woodrow Wilson House at WTOP.com. Search Vintage Games. Brennan Hazelton, WTOP News.
Good morning. Welcome in this Friday. Yep, that's exactly what the Caps did last night, beating the Penguins 4-3. This game went to overtime. They've taken a 1-0 lead in this important series, and Caps fans were pumped up after the game, especially after TJ Oshie's hat trick performance.
Capitals win. Overtime. Thrilling.
And fans got loud.
I lost my voice because I was screaming so much.
Oh, no.
This guy says it was one to remember.
Two great teams matched up perfectly, and the Caps came out on top. It's awesome.
What happens next?
We're not going to sweep them. I'm not going to go that far, but we're playing good hockey, and hope he's going to get carry us on.
Game two is Saturday outside Verizon Center.
O-C!
Michelle Bash, WTOP News.
6:15, Dave Johnson. I'm sure there are going to be people this morning second-guessing some of the decisions. A rough night for the Nats fans.
Well, that's what happens in a one-run game. Indeed, that's the case. You know, look, the times have changed, the names have changed, but the Nats know the script.
They do not run, and the pitch is swung on and missed. Strike three. Ruiz up with it. He throws to first. Gonzalez has it. The game is over, and the Dodgers out of the dugout to mob Clayton Kershaw.
Charlie throws the call. Painful, and Dodgers win 4-3.
Here comes Katie Ledecky.
I've always been a big goal setter.
Olympian Katie Ledecky says she's already thinking about the next Summer Games.
I know I'll start looking at the 4 years and start thinking what I want to do in Tokyo, hopefully.
Coach Bruce Gamel says the ultra-competitive Ledecky always has a plan.
We set some almost scary, unrealistic goals for 2016. As time went on, they became real to the point where she reached all of them in Rio.
Back home, the Bethesda native ended her summer by throwing out the first pitch at Nats Park and talking with young fans.
It's always fun when you can put a smile on someone's face or hopefully inspire somebody to dream big.
Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
Nationals and Braves in a pitcher's duel early on. WTOP's George Wallace is live in Southeast with more.
All right, Rob, yeah, middle of the third inning now. No score between the Nats and the Braves. Tanner Roark so far pretty good as he is in through the Braves lineup. A little bit of trouble in the second inning. He hit Garcia to lead off the inning, but ends up getting out of it, no trouble. Walk in the third, again, gets out of it, no troubles, giving up just one hit to this point. Braves at 0-7, Nats 5-1, Rob here, and the Nats have a 12-game winning streak against the Braves. Bottom three, no score.
Back in the district, the Wizards about to close out their disappointing regular season amid a little controversy, maybe. WTOP's Dave Preston is live at Verizon Center with a preview.
Good evening, Rob. The Wizards can reach the 500 mark with a victory, but that's a far cry from where they wanted to be this April. They host Atlanta, the very team that ended their 2015 postseason, while the Hawks are playing for the third seed in the Eastern Conference.
There have been a lot of professional baseball players and managers over the years who, when they open their mouths, leave us scratching our heads. The skipper of the Washington Nationals seems to be in a league with the best of them, and isn't it more fun that way?
My brother's in insurance. And he says most accidents happen at twilight.
He's not Yogi Berra as a quotable just yet, but Dusty Baker speaks with the media after every game. And like snowflakes, no two Dusty postgame pressers are alike.
You know, I've always been taught that the lesser is equal to the greater. And the circle's not complete unless you're, you know, depend on everybody and anybody in that circle.
What was that? He operates with a different mindset as well as calendar.
Most of the big hitters do 50% of their work in about 30% of the year. I'll take another April and September and October.
Tonight on Core Values, Chris offers this slightly late review of one of his Christmas presents.
For Christmas, my wife gave me underwear. Wait, don't laugh. She had read someplace that it's the world's most comfortable underwear. And you know what? It might be. It's just the name. The underwear is called Me Undies. Can a man really put on something called Me Undies? Well, I have been, but I'm hoping nobody at the gym happens to see the label. I might be in for a pretty hard time. Which brings me to this. Along with the underwear, the company sent me a gift, a free cap, and on the cap it says Me Undies. Okay, seriously, do they think that men want to walk around wearing a cap that displays the name of their underwear, especially if that name is Me Undies? But back to the underwear. It's really, really nice, and I'm thinking of ordering some more. But gosh, I wish they would rethink their name. You know, call it something like Strongman or Bully Boxers or something a heck of a lot more macho than Me Undies. Good branding is a core value.
Well, thanks, Chris. I never pictured him in his underwear before. Now I have a whole new image of him. Chris Gore, part of commentary and analysis from all sides. You can hear the Washington Post's Clinton Yates next hour at 7:35 and always at WTOP.com.
We got Jonathan Warner. Jonathan Warner next on Big News in the...
From Richmond to Baltimore, from the Chesapeake to the Shenandoah, this is WTOP, Washington's top news, on air and online at WTOP.com.
Good evening, I'm Dimitri Sotis.
And I'm Brendan Hazelton. Brian Drew is at the editor's desk just ahead.
We have breaking news. Metro announces the entire rail system will shut down all day tomorrow for emergency safety inspections.
When I say safety is our highest priority, I mean it.
Metro bus will still operate, but officials are urging riders to make backup plans now.
There is no decision yet from the federal government on any changes to the workday tomorrow. D.C. public schools will be open.
In other news, voters heading to the polls in five states today for must-win presidential primaries.
The Dow up 22, NASDAQ down 22 points, and the S&P down 4.
The Capitals host the Hurricanes tonight, and March Madness kicks off with play-in games.
WTOP News Time, 5:31.
A stunner from Metro. The entire rail system will be shut down for the entire service day tomorrow. That means big problems for the hundreds of thousands who use Metro to get around and for drivers who are likely going to deal with more traffic than usual. We've got team coverage for you starting with WTOP's Dick Giuliano.
Metro trains will stop rolling at midnight Wednesday, no doubt leaving hundreds of thousands of commuters scrambling for alternative rides.
We will suspend rail service for 24 hours to inspect 600 underground, what we call jumper cables.
Metro General Manager Paul Wiedefeld says the cause of Monday's tunnel fire at McPherson Square looks similar to the cable fire that caused smoke in the Lafont Plaza tunnel in January 2015, which killed one rider and injured scores of others.
While the risk to public is very low, I cannot rule out a potential life safety issue here. And this is why we must take this action immediately.
Metro Rail is expected to reopen Thursday at 5 a.m. At Metro headquarters, Dick Giuliano, WTOP News.
I'm Max Smith. This fire is the same type that led to Carol Glover's death near L'Enfant Plaza a year ago in January, when a train sat in smoke amid a number of other errors. These cables can get water inside, or apparently in the case of Monday's fire, have insulators fray, leading to metal on metal, sparks, and a huge fire. While Metro believes the risk is low, they want all 600 cables inspected again by a mix of outside experts and the staff who inspected them a year ago under a National Transportation Safety Board recommendation. If problems are found, parts of the system could remain shut down into Thursday, or trains could single track through the area. For now, Metro is planning to run normal bus service with extra buses on DC school routes Wednesday, but no replacements for trains. At Metro headquarters, Max Smith, WTOP News.
Many DC public school students rely on the Metro Rail system to get to school. The system is saying schools will be open in the district tomorrow as planned, as if it were a normal day. The school system says it is working with Metro to add extra bus service if possible. School bosses say they plan to excuse any absences or late arrivals.
Now, a big question on many listeners' minds is, what is Uncle Sam planning to do tomorrow? Will the federal government be open? Well, the Office of Personnel Management tells WTOP that it is working with Metro and local governments to assess the situation and will have guidance for you federal workers soon.
You'll hear about that the minute we learn here on the radio and at WTOP. How is Congress reacting to the Metro shutdown tomorrow? WTOP Capitol Hill correspondent Dave McConnell, today on the Hill.
Yeah, Dimitri, area lawmakers agree this is a serious situation, and they're calling for the government to permit liberal leave policies and teleworking at home wherever possible. Virginia Congressman Don Beyer.
We've already encouraged our own staff to work from home if they can, ride their bike if they can, but we very much want OPM to say liberal leave, telework if possible, perhaps essential employees only.
D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton says she'll be at work, but hopes others can work from home. Other local lawmakers tell WTOP of similar plans. So far, no plans to close Congress. Most lawmakers live pretty close to the Capitol or don't take Metro. On Capitol Hill, Dave McConnell, WTOP News.
All right, thank you much, Dave. 5:34.
CBS News Update. One of the most important presidential primary days in the process. Ohio, Florida, Illinois, North Carolina, and Missouri.
You never can predict things in this election, can you?
My vote is even more important now than it would have been in a normal election.
CBS News polling unit is beginning to collect some exit data. Polling analyst Fred Backus is here now live.
Once again, the economy is the big issue to voters in both parties. And just like in Michigan last week, the issue of trade seems to be on the minds of voters. In Illinois, North Carolina, and Ohio, both Republicans and Democratic voters are more likely to say that trade with other countries is taking jobs away from the U.S. rather than creating jobs.
So, Fred, do we get any hints about what kind of leader the voters really want?
Harley, where Democrats and Republicans differ is in what type of experience they want in a nominee. While most Republican voters want someone from outside of politics, most Democrats want a candidate with political experience.
CBS News Update, along with Fred Backus, I'm Harley Carr.
Stay with us here on WTOP, a check on the roads, and then we return to our coverage of Metro shutting down for safety inspections all day tomorrow. Metro Rail will not be an option tomorrow. Stay with WTOP.
As a small business,
it's 538.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
I-66, new crash eastbound just before the Beltway. This one was minor, and everybody needs to remember that if there's no shoulder on the right, the trooper's going to try to get everybody over on the left, which is what they did to get the travel lanes open and everybody else out of harm's way eastbound before the Beltway. From Roslyn to Fair Oaks and Fair Lakes to points west of Centerville and Gainesville. Otherwise, no incidents pending. Heading southbound from the Pentagon to the Beltway, beyond the Occoquan, beyond Dale City and Dumfries, Quantico to points south and Stafford, should find volume only in separate stretches with the travel lanes open. In Alexandria, westbound from Old Town on Duke Street, drivers report delays west of Telegraph Road, and I believe the crash is between Telegraph and Quaker on the westbound side of Duke Street, 236. North side, I-95, the BW Parkway, nothing currently reported in or distracting along the way. The Beltway between Landover and New Carrollton, they were looking for a crash, particularly heavy now on the inner loop, headed eastbound on the inner loop from the BW Parkway. Exhilaration is in the air, and this March at Pohanka Lexus, with the Command Performance Sales event going on right now, complimentary first lease payment on most models. Visit PohankaLexus.com. I'm Bob Martberg, WTOP Traffic.
Looking at a very nice evening across the region as temperatures have moved into the low 60s for the most part earlier this afternoon. Temperatures will drop back through the 50s by around 7, 8 o'clock tonight, but still a nice evening. Tomorrow, looking for a high temperature of around 73 degrees. Going to see a nice start to the day with some sun, but then more clouds during the afternoon. Can't rule out an afternoon shower. We're not expecting much, but you may want to keep the umbrella handy just in case. Most of us should remain dry, though. On Thursday, St. Patrick's Day, look for a high around 65. I'm Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Doug Kammerer.
Well, the sunshine we have coming through the glass enclosed nerve center window right now feels great. It's pleasant looking out there. 59 degrees outside the glass enclosed nerve center, 63 currently in Bethesda. We have 61 degrees in Fairfax.
It's 5:40, and we're continuing our breaking news this early evening. Metro will shut down the entire rail system tomorrow to make emergency safety inspections. General Manager Paul Wiedefeld.
We will suspend rail service for 24 hours to inspect 600 underground, what we call jumper cables. That means the entire rail system will be closed until 5 a.m. Thursday.
And it does close at midnight tonight. The decision comes a day after a track fire near the McPherson Square station caused major delays and forced Metro to shut down a portion of the blue and orange lines last night. Metro says the conditions of that fire are, in its words, disturbingly similar to last year's deadly smoke incident near L'Enfant Plaza. There is no word on whether the federal government will be making any changes in response to this, but D.C. public schools will remain open tomorrow. Transportation managers are urging riders to make alternate plans now.
Meantime, WTOP's Max Smith says there's a chance the Metro rail system, or at least parts of it, could be shut down for longer than just tomorrow.
They can't say with certainty that the entire system will reopen then. They obviously hope to reopen then, and if no significant issues are found, they will. But if any issue is found, even with a single cable, that stretch of track will have to be completely shut down. down, trains would have to single track, and you would see essentially the same mess you saw on the Blue, Orange, and Silver lines Monday afternoon, with single tracking the entire time, hugely crowded platforms. The other issue here is that Metro doesn't have enough shuttle buses, so you're going to see the regular Metro system running tomorrow, but Metro bus system, but you're not going to see any of those extra shuttle buses, at least not as planned right now.
VRE, meantime, has announced it'll run normal service tomorrow. We are still waiting to hear from Mark and other commuter services about the possibility of any extra service tomorrow.
Business leaders around here say the sudden shutdown of Metro Rail all day tomorrow makes for a very unusual situation, not just for you, the worker, but companies themselves.
This is a crisis situation in very short order.
Jim Deniger is president of the Greater Washington Board of Trade. He says if you are the boss, you might consider spending some money to accommodate your employees.
So we are encouraging people to pay for parking, to pay for cabs, to pay for Uber, to underwrite some flexibility, to give them flex time. If there are ride-sharing programs, everything should be on the table. We should accommodate as many of the employees getting into and out of work. But if they can work from home, God bless them. Let them work from home.
The busiest departments at offices across the metro tomorrow will likely be the HR departments. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP.
5:43 now. In other news today, there is a new peak bloom date for D.C.'s world-famous cherry blossoms. The National Park Service now saying those trees will be in peak bloom March 23rd and 24th. The previous estimate had peak bloom happening between the 18th and the 23rd. This week's cooler temperatures helped forecasters narrow that window. You've got between 4 and 10 days to see the flowers before peak bloom ends.
You cannot count on Metro Rail tomorrow. You can at the moment and throughout this evening until midnight, but then the system is shutting down for safety inspections until 5 a.m. Thursday. Complete coverage here at WTOP and WTOP.com. 5:44.
Build up a savings account.
By Melwood.
This Tuesday on Wall Street in the books, let's check in with Jeff Claybaugh.
The Dow ends the day up 22 points, the Nasdaq down 22. Money news in 10 minutes on WTOP.
Sports at 15 and 45. Sponsored by DCAreaLandRover.com.
We're back with Dave Preston.
And before we talk hockey, Monumental Sports yet to release a statement regarding tomorrow's Metro shutdown. Wizards hosting Charlotte tomorrow night at Verizon Center. NHL Capitals playing Carolina tonight while confronting the fact they've allowed the first goal in five straight games. Justin Williams.
Well, to be honest, I'm kind of sick of talking about it. I think, you know, it's been brought up so many times that, you know, we can deal with it ourselves. You know, the answers are within here, and we don't need to, you know, beat the horse all the time.
Caps allow the fourth fewest goals in the league. Hurricanes ranked 25th in the NHL in scoring. 7 p.m. faceoff. NFL Redskins signed free agent safety David Bruton Jr. reportedly to a three-year deal. Bruton was a special team standout with Denver since being drafted by the Broncos in 2009. Spring training, Nationals edge Houston 6-4. Gio Gonzalez strikes out four over four frames of one-run ball. Orioles tie Toronto 6-6. Chris Tillman roughed up for two earned runs over an inning and two-thirds. Men's college basketball NCAA tournament first four this evening in Dayton. Florida Gulf Coast matches up with Fairleigh Dickinson while Vanderbilt faces Wichita State. Golf, Arnold Palmer will not be hitting the ceremonial tee shot at this year's Masters. The 86-year-old cites a lingering shoulder injury that's hampered his ability to swing a club. Palmer has won four green jackets. Dave Preston, WTOP Sports.
All right, thank you, Dave. Metro rail stations will be mostly silent tomorrow. This is the system shuts down for the entire day for special safety inspections. Details straight ahead. 5:47.
Are you shopping for
the pizza portion of your order only?
5:48.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
On the Beltway in Montgomery County, the outer loop headed round from Connecticut Avenue toward 355 and 270. The crash, multiple cars and vans involved, and they blocked the second lane from the left and the center lane on the outer loop before 355. On the inner loop, northbound, north of River Road, and just before the left exit onto the 270 spur, the crash and the responders, motorcyclist involved, although drivers tell us the rider is actually up and walking. Now, on the outer loop of the Beltway into the Sunshine, westbound from Old Georgetown Road, southbound from Democracy Boulevard, delays extend across the American Legion Bridge. The broken down truck that was on the outer loop after the GW Parkway, that has at least moved on. The travel lanes are open. Northbound 270 after 109, whatever was is at the very least out of the traveled portion of the roadway. Back on the Virginia side, headed west on 267, the Dulles Toll Road, before Hunter Mill Road, the new crash blocking two left lanes on the outbound side of the toll lanes. Back on the inner loop, headed from College Park and Greenbelt toward New Carrollton, in the interchange at 650, 450, check that, Annapolis Road, the crash with at most one single lane getting by. Outer loop, allow for some rubbernecking, but from Landover heading toward Greenbelt at least, should find that the lanes remain open. Searching for a new home, go where all the builders in the new home communities are in the New Homes Guide. Get your free copy at any Harris Teeter location, and then you won't say, I didn't even know those homes were there. I'm Bob Martberg, WTOP Traffic.
Doug Kammerer, today was sort of one of those late bloomer days temperature-wise.
Oh, that's right. We started off a little bit on the cool side this morning with plenty of cloud cover and then broke out into some sunshine. And temperatures across the region have responded very, very nicely. Most areas into the low to mid-60s across the region. And tomorrow we're going to be even warmer. We're going to see temperatures into the 70s. So first off tonight, look for a very nice night, a great evening across the region, nice and mild. Temperatures overnight into the 40s in the suburbs, around 50 in the city. And then tomorrow afternoon, going for a high temperature of around 73 degrees. We'll see plenty of sunshine early, but then more cloud cover during the afternoon with a chance of an isolated shower. Not expecting a lot in the way of shower activity, but it may have a little bit more of an impact due to the fact that the metro is closed, so a lot more people are going to be above ground tomorrow, so to speak. So you may want to take the umbrella just in case. Those showers, if they do develop, would develop between, say, 3 and 7 o'clock, so right during that evening rush. On Thursday, behind that system, temperature's still on the mild side, highs in the mid-60s with a high around 65 on your St. Paddy's Day, and then Friday looking good with a high temperature right around 57 degrees. So all in all, some pretty nice weather next couple of days. Right now, beautiful, 64 downtown, 60 out towards Dulles and up towards Frederick, Maryland, coming in at 61.
Doug Kammerer there. Thanks, Doug. It's 5:52. Our top story tonight, Metro Rail riders are going to have to find a different way to get around our area tomorrow, the whole area. General Manager Paul Wiedefeld announced this afternoon that the entire rail system will shut down. That begins at midnight tonight through 5 a.m. Thursday for safety inspections. He says the agency is making emergency work tomorrow after a track fire yesterday near McPherson Square.
The reason to shut it down is basically, literally, you have people crawling around third rail. That's what you're doing. So we got to get as many people out there. So if we do a piecemeal, guess what? This is going to take weeks.
Wiedefeld says the risk to the public is very low, but he could not rule out what he calls a life safety issue, which forced him to shut the system down tomorrow.
As you might imagine, Metro riders are reacting this afternoon. One of the ones we spoke with, Chloe Brash, who was getting on a train at Navy Yard.
Usually you hear about something like this during a snowstorm, so people kind of expect it, but this is kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, pretty typical reaction, I'm guessing. This is the first time, in fact, in Metro's history that it has been forced to close the entire system for any reason other than weather.
We have heard from VRE so far. Tomorrow, it is operating as normal. The federal government has not announced any changes to the workday tomorrow. D.C. public schools will be open and running normally. School officials say any late arrivals or absences will be excused in the district.